You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
It's not fair.
I'm an Andrew Gunling fan.
Just take the L.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
Oh, that's right. ENN with Andrew Gunling. Peter is off. He will return on Thursday. So it is I filling in for him. Don, what's up? How are you?
Considering the disparity in name value. Forgot about that.
And Don, what's up? How are you?
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
Oh, that was a tough one this weekend. I can't lie.
David Blow is a Detroit Lion no longer. He was released over the weekend. I'm kind of surprised we didn't lead with that today. But we have led with it now in ENN.
This is why RJ is so great, because that was really important. Even Carlin reached out with the article. It's amazing how people now become attached to you because of a drop. And now he's no longer a Lion. I don't know if he'll latch on with anybody else before the season officially begins. But
Raven.
Replied.
Or current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh, no, he's a Ram.
See, RJ is unbelievable. I was about to say that there are certain players, random players, that in the tri-state area, a lot of sports fans hear the name David Blow, and they just think of Don LaGreca. And like Eric Weddle, same thing.
Yeah.
That like you are associated with these NFL players for just the most ridiculous of reasons. It's hilarious.
That's why I love doing this show. It makes the show so unique to any other show there's ever been.
Let's get into ENN now. A busy day, of course. Yankees are going to look to try and turn things around. They get underway in about 30 minutes from now, the old 6:37 start against the Blue Jays. Marley Rivera pointing out on Twitter yesterday, only the Diamondbacks and Rangers have had a worse stretch than the 5-14 one that the Yankees have been in since August 18th. It's unbelievable.
It's incredible, right? And it seems like it's the same script every night. They jump out to an early lead. And then the offense goes quiet, and then the bullpen gives it up. And also, we shouldn't disregard the starting pitchers. You know, Montgomery wasn't great, and then Cole wasn't great in Baltimore. So that's what's scary, Andrew, right? I mean, how long have they owned the Orioles? Like, that was always the way that they got well. And to drop 3 out of 4 from them, God.
Yeah, their dominance of the Orioles last year became a running joke. I remember playing audio of Gary Thorne, the Orioles announcer, calling Gleyber Torres home runs, where he's just like completely exasperated that the Orioles even continued pitching to the guy. The dominance became so ridiculous. And not the case this year, as everything has just got caught in this downward spiral. So you guys mentioned before that Brian Cashman, in I guess what can only be classified as one of those desperate times call for desperate measures kind of situations, met with the team today. And we do have some audio from him talking about it afterwards. Here's Cashman asked if he's concerned about the message not being delivered from the coaching staff.
No, it doesn't. And I haven't been a part of Aaron's team meetings per se anyway. And I know what the messaging that I might convey to you as well as Booney to you might not necessarily match up the conversations that are happening, obviously, in private in the clubhouse. No, I don't have any concerns of that. And I, as I stated, whenever I do this, it's part therapeutic for myself because I need to do it. So I check that box of, what should you be doing? What leadership job responsibilities are in play here? And what's, you got to step out of your comfort zone and get in the middle of stuff. And so obviously it's not comfortable to go ahead and gather a crew together to have some tough conversations and share, put yourself out there. So you do it rarely, but when necessary, you have to.
I really do believe if they miss the playoffs, I think Boone's gone. I really do. And I'm not saying that it's fair, and I'm not saying that I agree with it. But Andrew, just look at it. I mean, you can't just explain everything away. Well, that's the analytics. It's not his fault. And I don't want to hear an ounce of praise from him if they turn it around either. If you're just a middle manager, then what are we even talking about him for? We're talking about him because there are some things he can do to better the situation. And now the general manager that hasn't done this since 2009 goes and talks to the team? I'm not supposed to look at that as a little bit of a shot at Boone, that maybe he's not doing what Brian Cashman now has to go in and do? And think about it, Andrew. The last time Cashman did it was when the Yankees were struggling in 2009, and they went on to win the World Series. Well, you don't think it was a shot at Joe Girardi then, who had missed the playoffs in his first year as manager in 2008? And if they were on their way to missing the playoffs in 2009, you don't think Joe Girardi might have gotten banged?
Well, maybe, but you know, if he was that close, and I know he wound up getting the World Series, but you know, he lasted another, what, 8 years after that? And there were certainly other moments when, you know, when the chips were down and the Yankees were missing the playoffs and going out prematurely in the playoffs. So I don't know. Look, I see why you would say that Boone should see this and maybe kind of like raise an eyebrow at it. But honestly, like, there is no part of me, regardless of how this plays out, that believes he's going to get fired at the end of the season, whether it be based on what he's done the past couple seasons in getting this team to 100-plus wins, or just the fact, like, I don't think you can downplay the bizarre nature of a 60-game season. Like, you know, you say whether it's fair or not, but to fire a manager in a 60-game season after with the track record that he's had his first couple seasons, with the injuries that he's had this season, I can't imagine. A 60-game season doesn't even give him the opportunity to get guys back and right the ship. It would just be there's unfair, and then there would be whatever that is. That's next level unfair.
But, you know, we spend so much time talking about what they did in the regular season. I thought the mission statement was supposed to win championships. That's all we hear. And after winning 103 games and then 100 games, 203 games over the last 2 years, all right, not winning the championship compelled them to give a 9-year contract to Gerrit Cole because they looked at it as a failure. You know, they couldn't rest on their laurels. Hey, we got to go out there. We won 103 games. So what? We didn't even get to the World Series. So I think, Andrew, you're looking at it from an organization that, hey, they should be satisfied. Look how good they are every year. All right, they have one bad year during COVID-19. How can you kill them for that? But the Yankees look at things differently. You know, they look at this as they haven't won a championship. They fired Joe Girardi. Do you think Joe Girardi deserved to get fired? You don't think Joe Girardi had injuries?
But I think that was based on reasons that, like, those are boxes that Aaron Boone doesn't check. You know, by all accounts, the players like Aaron Boone, and you know, his relationship and rapport with the media is such that that's what Yankee management seems to want. So I don't know. I just think, I think it could be a strike against him. Like, if you want to evaluate him in the future, I think it's fair to use what happens this year in the conversation, but not to fire him straight out
of
the gate.
How about this angle, and then we'll leave it alone. All right. And again, I'm a Boone fan, and I don't want him to lose his job, but I'm just looking at the experience. All right. They went out on a limb hiring a guy with zero experience as a manager because they felt this is exactly what they needed to get over the hump. So is it possible that after 3 years of not doing it, they can look and say, maybe that was a mistake. Maybe we needed to bring somebody in with a little bit more experience. I'm just looking at what could be one of the biggest embarrassments in this organization's history. If they can't make the playoffs in when 16 of 30 teams make the postseason and it not, then somebody not lose a job because of it.
Well, somebody will. I just don't think it'll be him. Whether or not, you know, it's a pitching coach or a hitting coach or somebody else with some kind of title in the front office, I don't know. I just don't think they would go straight to Boone.
Hey, this is all premature anyway, because maybe they rattle off 10 straight wins and we're laughing about this in a week and a half. So they're still in the playoffs right now, but you know, to be as bad as they've been over the last, you know, 17, 18 games is just a little startling.
So I know we don't do a ton of tennis, but
no,
a thing happened over the weekend that I just couldn't believe. Did you see, Don, the controversy with Novak Djokovic?
I did not.
Okay. So let me tell you what happened on Sunday afternoon in Flushing Meadows at the U.S. Open to the number one player in the world in the first round of the tournament. So people, millions of tennis fans around the world, I guess, saw on Sunday that, wow, Djokovic is out. What an incredible upset for the number one player to go out in the first round. Well, he went out in the first round, but he was not upset by anybody except, I guess, himself. Don, he was disqualified on Sunday after inadvertently hitting a line judge in the throat with a ball. Now, I say inadvertently. It was definitely an accident, but it was a thing that it looked like he kind of did out of frustration. Like, he had an extra ball in his hand. He wasn't playing that well, and he kind of smacked it with his racket against what he thought was going to just be the wall, and he hit the linesman or the lineswoman in the throat. And then, so he immediately went over, tried to apologize, but he was disqualified pretty much right on the spot. And then, as if things weren't bad enough for the lineswoman having to kind of endure that embarrassment and being thrust into the middle of this, here's this from the Washington Post today. I'm reading here from them. The lineswoman had been accused on social media of faking her discomfort after Djokovic angrily slapped a ball, accidentally striking her in the throat. Although U.S. Open officials had been reluctant to release her name, a news outlet in Serbia, where Djokovic is from, posted her Instagram account.
Oh, we lost Andrew. And you know, RJ, when you lose Andrew, you lose ENN.
I will try and pick it up.
Yes, exactly, please, because I'm very interested in this. Because I was knee-deep in hockey and baseball, and I missed this.
And I'm going to leave Andrew up, so if he pops back in, you'll
yes,
just know
please,
he's there.
Yes, please.
So I don't have the exact name, the exact quote from Serbia, but basically what happened was he hit a line drive that hit this woman, right? And so Djokovic, you know, have a situation with this tournament where a number of people have declined to play in it, right? We've seen this with tennis, with individual sports. A lot of big names are, but a lot aren't.
Sure.
So the top name left in the tournament, the biggest name in the draw, is gone. And we had some audio here from Pat McEnroe, from Keyshawn, our next guest, Jay Will and Zubin, on whether or not he deserved to be booted from the tournament.
I believe that if the ball had hit her, the lines person, you know, in the foot, that Djokovic probably would have been allowed to play. But here's the deal. I mean, the fact of the matter is it didn't. It hit the woman in the throat, and she was struggling, you know, to breathe for quite some time. So the reality is, I mean, obviously you could hit the ball as hard as you want into the net or, you know, in frustration, but you're, as the player, you're in control of what happened, you know, by doing that. So the fact that it did hit her in the throat, basically, as soon as you saw her go down, I said to myself, match over.
Wow. All right. Well, he knows what he's talking about. And I don't know how to feel about it, because I'm trying to find a comparable of where a player's frustration injured somebody to that extent. And I can't. Can you?
I've got nothing in terms of.
I mean, I remember Dennis Rodman kicking the cameraman. But the cameraman wasn't that badly hurt, but it was embarrassing. And I think Rodman actually got ejected and maybe suspended for that.
He did, yes.
Him headbutting the official was a game that I was at because it was in Jersey. That kind of pops into mind, but that wasn't an accident. He did that on purpose. I don't know. So I can't. Listen, there's the business side of it. Do you really want to knock the biggest draw out of the tournament? But what's a proper punishment? You got to be responsible for your actions. And yeah, if it hit her in the foot, but it didn't. It hit her in the throat. Now, you were talking about in Serbia, they're suggesting that maybe she was faking it.
Yeah, which I think is crazy. And he eventually did go on social media and he thanked his supporters. He said, "Dear hashtag Noel fam," which I guess are his people. He said, "Thank you for the positive messages. Please also remember the lines person that was hit by the ball last night needs our community support too. She's done nothing wrong at all. I ask you to stay especially supportive and caring to her during this time."
All right, so let's try to draw something that let's make it up. Okay, let's make up a comparable for respective sports, all right? Henrik Lundqvist gives up a bad goal, fishes the puck out of the net, and just fires it, and it hits a referee in the throat, and he drops down.
Yeah.
How does the NHL handle that? I'm sure he's thrown out of the game, and I'm sure he would probably be suspended for it. So that would be probably even, right? Now, he doesn't lose out the whole season, but yeah, he's suspended, so he's out. Would you look at that as too harsh if Hank had done that?
So, no, I think everyone would agree that it's the right punishment, but it does leave you with this kind of almost empty feeling because it's clearly an accident. You know, he does it in frustration, but the accidental nature of it, like for him to go out in the first round, man, I get it. Right, and look, I don't know tennis etiquette that well, so I'm not even going to pretend like I know.
But you figure their etiquette is a little bit higher brow than it would be for other sports.
Well, I do think if Lundqvist so this is the equivalent. Now Djokovic is out of the U.S. Open. So if Lundqvist, let's say he did that in game one of the Stanley Cup final and was then suspended for the remainder of the Stanley Cup for what was clearly an accident, granted a bad mistake, dumb, but clearly an accident, I believe that we would be taking phone calls the next day with people absolutely irate with the NHL saying that the punishment didn't fit the crime.
Football would be, you know, all right, it's the first drive of a playoff game. All right. Jets, Bills, divisional round of the playoffs, whatever, right? And there's a bad call. Sam picks up the football and just heaves it, and it hits an official in the throat. All right. Would they throw him out of the game? I think they would.
The thought of these things happening are just so ridiculous. It's like, I'm trying to think of, I feel like, wasn't there?
All right, well, listen, this is a good one, all right? NBA Finals, Lakers, Celtics, right? Game one, foul on LeBron, gets upset at the official, throws the basketball at the official, hits him in the throat, knocks him out unconscious.
That one is worse because that is more that one is that would be more intentional than what Djokovic did here.
All right, so he doesn't throw it like at him intentionally, but he just like
spikes the ball in anger and then walked away.
And it pops up in the air and smacks the official in the face and knocks him down, breaks his nose. There's blood all over the court. He's down. Woozy. They got to take him off the court. What do they do to LeBron? Technical foul. They throw him out of the game. They suspend him.
Ejected, no suspension is what I think would happen.
All right. Well, here's the thing, right? Because when you kick him out of the tournament, if he loses that match, he's out of the tournament, right? So I think we look him being thrown out of the tournament. Well, what's the alternative? If he's allowed to continue to play, then he can move on. If you're not going to allow him to move on in that first round match, then he loses. He's out. So
no, you're right. There is no one game ejection. He can only be kicked out of the tournament. That's
right. So I think it's fair because I think all those examples, Lundqvist, Darnold, LeBron, I think they're thrown out of the game.
They all sound like scenes from an Adam Sandler movie that I just can't quite place. Like I picture like a character in a movie picking up a first down yard marker and like launching it and hitting a ref, but I can't. Oh, this is going
to
drive me nuts.
Because I'm trying to think of, because again, it's the like I've seen Hank take the puck and throw it out of the net, so I could see that happening. Right, I've seen a basketball player get upset with a call and spike the ball. Right, but like a baseball player, I never saw a baseball player like pick up the ball and then bat it like into the like they never had. So I can't come up with a baseball one. So it's odd. I think they did the right thing. I think he shouldn't have been able to be allowed to continue the match. Therefore, he's done.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's the right thing that they did.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A couple of quick ones. We've got Keyshawn Johnson coming up next. I just want to get to this, that the New York Giants today waived DeAndre Baker, as we expected.
Exactly.
First round pick last year. And I guess, obviously, he's awaiting trial right now. His next court date scheduled for January 21st of 2021. If convicted of this crime, he faces a mandatory minimum of 10 years and possibly even up to life in prison. Just looking at it, obviously, there's a lot of real life stuff happening with DeAndre Baker here. Looking at it purely football wise, this now a first round pick in a position of great need for the Giants. Like, this has to now go into the pantheon of bad Giant draft picks from over the years.
Well, that's pretty bad. Now, I should they have done more work on him? Was this something that they could have seen? Had they done more work, or was this just some kind of rogue event that happened in his life? I don't know, but yeah, it's bad.
And it's an all-timer,
and his name escapes me off the top of my head, but the person that was expected to fill in for him opted out.
Sam Beal, right.
So from a depth perspective, now they did pick up some guys during the offseason too for defensive back purposes, but it's tough. I mean, you draft a guy, you expect him to be a part of your team, and God, just a bad offseason. Your kicker hit and run, cornerback involved in like a shooting. I'll tell you what, it's been a pretty, on its way to a pretty bad decade for this franchise.
Yeah.
Honestly. Really?
Yeah. It's hard to believe this decade started with a Super Bowl and now to see where it's kind of spiraled
Who would have thought that that's, you know, now was it worth it? Like if we were to tell Giant fans that, all right, you're going to beat the Patriots again, but the next decade is going to be just filled with coaching changes, criminal mischief, because we, you know, the Josh Brown situation. I mean, you know what? I think there'd be fans be like, all right, I'm good. I'll take the championship.
let's see. And then one other one here, the Milwaukee Bucks looking to keep their season alive as they face the Heat tonight, down 3-1. So I have not seen the latest, but I can tell you at 4:50 this afternoon, Malika Andrews tweeted that Mike Budenholzer says he has not made a decision on whether or not Giannis will be available for the game tonight. So we are all kind of waiting and seeing what happens there.
Well, I give him credit, right? I mean, you're down 3-0. You lost your best player starting the second half. You know, you probably figure, all right, let's just get out of here. Let's just go home. But they stepped it up, right? So.
Oh, yeah, that was Chris Middleton's making $178 million in his contract with the Bucks, and I think there's been a lot of people who are looking at that in this postseason thinking, maybe he's not worth it. And look, I'm not saying that one half makes up for a contract that you maybe have some question marks over, but he showed up, and with their season on the line, Middleton's performance in the second half and overtime was fantastic. So you felt good for him because he's been kind of hearing it from Bucks fans and NBA fans. And then last but not least, Don, on this day, in 1998.
Down the left field line. Is it enough? Gone! There it is! 62! Touch first, Mark. You are the new single season home run king.
One of the, if not maybe the most famous home runs in baseball history. Mark McGwire passing Roger Maris, Joe Buck on the call. And I know everything that happened, you know, since then with steroids and PEDs, and it's cast a different kind of cloud over that. But in the moment, it's one of the most spine-tingling, memorable sports moments that I've ever seen.
It's the most relevant baseball has been in recent history. The people following that home run chase, it was all anybody talked about. I was at sports radio at the time, and it was on everybody's mind. It was like a traveling circus when those two played. It was, and you had the Cubs playing in the afternoon a lot of times, and then with the Cardinals at night. It was 22 years ago, Andrew, and I don't know if baseball has ever been more relevant than it was during that season.
I would say maybe, you're right, maybe the Yankees-Red Sox years of 03 and 04, just because it felt like, whether you're a Yankee fan or a Red Sox fan, like it didn't even matter. Sports fans were so invested. I mean, I'm not a Yankee fan or a Red Sox fan, and I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah.
You wish the series was a best of 13 or best of 19.
Like, yeah, in those brief moments. Playing. But this was something that lasted like the entire summer, because everybody knew that they were into this thing, and it was for months that it was such a big deal. But certainly,
do you remember, by the way, who the home run was hit off of? Which Cub pitcher?
Was it Steve Traxel?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, and we'll go out on that note. That is ENN for tonight.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.